Our first lesson for today's service is from the Old Testament prophet Isaiah. The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because the Lord has anointed me. He has sent me to bring good news to the oppressed, to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives and release to the prisoners, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all who mourn, to provide for those who mourn in Zion, to give them a garland instead of ashes, the oil of gladness instead of mourning, the mantle of praise instead of a faint spirit. They will be called oaks of righteousness, the planting of the Lord to display his glory. They shall build up the ancient ruins. They shall raise up the former devastations. They shall repair the ruined cities, the devastations of many generations. Our second lesson for today's worship is from the Gospel of Luke, when Jesus indeed repeated those words. Then Jesus, filled with the power of the Spirit, returned to Galilee, and a report about him spread through all of the surrounding country. He began to teach in their synagogues and was praised by everyone. When he came to Nazareth, where he had been brought up, he went to the synagogue on the Sabbath day, as was his custom. He stood up to read, and the scroll of the prophet Isaiah was given to him. He unrolled the scroll, and he found the place where it was written, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me to bring good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim release to the captives and recovery of sight to the blind, to let the oppressed go free, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor." And he rolled up the scroll, gave it back to the attendant, and sat down. The eyes of all in the synagogue were fixed on him. Then he began to say to them, "Today this scripture has been fulfilled in your hearing." This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. There was a sign in a tailor shop that said, "We mend everything except broken hearts." Robert Browning has these haunting lines that go like this. "I walked a mile with pleasure. She chatted all the way, but I was none the wiser for all the words she had to say. And then I walked a mile with sorrow, and ne'er a word said she. But oh, the things I learned from her when sorrow walked with me." I suppose you know people who have had broken hearts. Sometimes I think it's a pew problem. And when I say it's a pew problem, what I mean by that is that everyone, in whatever pew you may be sitting in, can identify with some brokenness and some sorrow in your life. Those times come when it seems as though the bottom drops out of life and we wonder where we are going to go from here. I think of that young widow of that police officer who was shot in Milwaukee this week. Can you imagine doing the funeral of your 35-year-old husband during the week of Valentine's Day? As you know, I'm retired now. I've had about 50 years of ministry in the churches, beginning at the tender age of 24. And I can share with you some really poignant stories of people who have had broken hearts. I think about Kathy, for example. She lived in one of the communities in Iowa where I was the pastor. She was really a godly woman who really loved her church and participated in it. And I can remember sitting down in my office and encouraging her as she expressed her interest in attending the University of Dubuque Seminary, where I understand your new pastor's coming from. She had this adopted Korean son who loved riding his motorcycle, and she always told him, "Now when you ride your motorcycle, I want you to wear your helmet." Well, as the years went by, he went to the University of Iowa, and one lovely spring morning, he was out on his motorcycle when he was hit by a vehicle, and he was killed. And at the scene of the accident, his helmet was still strapped to the back of his bike. Even after many years, she still remembers that particular accident. Broken hearts are hard to mend. When I was a pastor in this presbytery back in the 90s, I had just come to this church, and shortly, maybe a week or so after I came, there was a death in the congregation. And when I met with the family, they said to me, "We don't want you to mention her last name." So her obituary in the paper, simply Catherine. You see, Catherine, although I had never met her while she was living, I was informed that in her last years, it was as though she had some mental illness, some dementia perhaps, although people weren't really sure. But she just went quiet. You see, her last name was Dahmer. And she was the grandmother of Milwaukee serial killer, no one less than Jeffrey Dahmer. And sometimes when people have broken hearts, it not only affects them, but it affects their family. And it affects the community, whether positively or negatively in this particular example. Also along the way, I had the opportunity of being a chaplain at North Memorial Medical Center in Minneapolis, which is the second largest trauma unit in the state of Minnesota. And it was a practice of the hospital, whenever there was a DOA or a death on arrival, the hospital would send a chaplain along to minister to whoever may have been the survivors. And I can remember doing this one time. And the widow was just distraught. She never expected that her husband would have this fatal heart attack. She didn't know how she would continue. Well, amazingly, 1 week later, the hospital receives another call to the same address, and there was another DOA. This woman, the surviving widow, had died from a broken heart. Now, probably you have had broken hearts too. I know I have had a broken heart. And I can give witness to you today that as time has gone, my broken heart has healed. Ernest Hemingway in Farewell to Arms said, "Everyone, the world breaks everyone, and then some heal at the broken places." A broken heart means that you're in really an emotional, psychological, spiritual mess because everything seems to be hopeless and one seems so helpless. The why questions, all of the anger questions of the why this and why that, and the fear questions. What if this never gets any better? What if I never heal from this? And then we sometimes think, well, if only I'd done this, or if only I had done that. And after a while, all of these whys and what ifs and if onlys, and the poor me's become so tied together and so mixed up like a bowl of spaghetti, you don't know where to begin or with what to begin first. But into all of this, the gospel message is that Jesus heals the brokenhearted. The testimony of the Psalms already was that God heals the brokenhearted and binds up those who have wounds. How does God do this? How is Jesus the mender of broken hearts? Well, there are many ways. Often his plan is that he works through people like you, so that when you know someone has a broken heart or is going through some profound sorrow, sometimes if you just come alongside another person and you sit beside them and you put your arm around them and you look into their eyes and you're the presence of Jesus making a difference in that person's life. Now, there are broken hearts not only within First Waukesha Church, but there are many broken hearts in your community. It's interesting, I think, that as I came this morning, I noticed that the door, above the door that must go into your lower area, says the caring place. And I'd like to think the caring place is not only downstairs, but it's up here as well with you. Wherever we have been broken in our lives, where the touch of Jesus, the healer of broken hearts, and the God who mends our wounds, where we have been the most broken, the healing powers of mercy and healing make that wound even stronger than in any other parts of our lives. God the Spirit is at work there, working his, may I say, magic? Because who of us really remembers the day that we've been healed? We remember the pain. We remember the scars. I know back on February 22nd of 1992, snowstorm in Milwaukee. I had a finger accident and lost 3 fingertips on my right hand. Painful, hurtful, the most physical pain I've ever had to endure. But can I tell you, when it seemed as if my right hand was healed and it was okay again? But isn't that the way it is with us? We remember our wounds, but not when we've been healed. I think it's interesting, especially on a Sunday like today, that we remember that Jesus was broken. And he said, if you couldn't remember this, I'll give you some visual aids. And as we will see in a little bit in this service, said, my brokenness for you is like taking a piece of bread and breaking it. And I went to the cross for you. And I suppose one might well ask, when you begin to think about the cross and its meaning in your life, was it to give you a set of beliefs, or was it to give you a way of life? Or is there some combination of those two? And the words the church historically has used for that is orthodoxy and orthopraxis, or right thinking and right living. And the way of life that the brokenness of Jesus shares with us is something that guides us, especially in the brokenness where we are hurt. Because the God who names the stars is the one who heals our scars, and he's the one who makes what is so often so wrong right again. So Browning, I think, had it right when he said, I walked a mile with pleasure. She chatted all the way, but I was none the wiser for all the things she had to say. But then I walked a mile with sorrow, and ne'er a word said she. But oh, the things I learned from her when sorrow walked with me. Now, as a guest minister today, you can find out a lot about me by reading the bio in your bulletin. Jim shared how it is that every week, irregardless of the temperature, I hike the Ice Age Trail. I did it this past week. Not such good conditions. Snow, ice, crusty snow. Everybody wore yak tracks on the bottom of their boots. But it was still slippery. You can find out where I went to seminary, postgraduate degrees, where my churches have been. But let me tell you this. I have learned a lot more from my failures than I have from my successes. Back in the 70s, a young minister, big church, I experienced a marital breakdown, and I went through a divorce experience, the first in my family. Never had planned that to happen in my life, but somehow there I was with a broken heart. But when you go through something like that, when you can see the light at the end of the tunnel, despite all of the pain and the sorrows and the hurts that one has experienced in one's life, when you go through something like that, then on the other side, there's a depth of human experience that one would never have otherwise. And all that sorrow has enriched countless lives of people along my pathway. But the bottom line is that Jesus heals the brokenhearted.